excited this morning for a change. No. But I'm excited because even when Miss Brenda started off worship, she was asking, is there an expectation in the house? And I knew before I even got here that there was going to be an expectation in the house, not because I'm standing here, but because the presence of the Lord is in this place. And the scripture tells us that when two or more are gathered, that his presence is here. And so I'm thankful that his presence is here. I'm thankful by the pastors that we have in this place and the love that we have for one another. And I'm also excited because last week, Pastor Jeff, once again, there he is, I'm following after him, and he paved the way for my message this morning. And I don't think that's by chance. It's because we serve an awesome God, and the power of the Holy Spirit unites his word. And so he laid it out perfectly. And if you missed it last week, I suggest you go back and watch it online because you missed a good word. But one of the question that Pastor Jeff asked last week was, he said, why do some Christians flourish and some flounder? And he challenged us to examine our hearts. He used the scripture about the word being sowed on good ground. And he talked about, you know, sometimes when we allow distractions in our lives, that the word gets choked. And therefore, our walk may look different from one another, because sometimes we allow circumstances and situations and distractions, and we call those things thorns, and they come and they choke the word, and the enemy is allowed to snatch that word that God has intended for us. And so he laid it out perfectly, because this morning I want to talk about the favor of God. And how many of us know that there is favor in the house of the Lord? There is favor in his presence. When you are a believer, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that he will pour out his favor, that he will rest it upon you. So therefore, there is a distinction between you and the unbeliever. Amen. Amen. Because otherwise, why else would we be saved? Why else would we look different? We ought to look different from the world. And the reason why we are separated, the reason why we look different, is because of his favor that has rested upon us. And sometimes we, as believers, we see that, you know, this believer seems like, oh, there's a lot of favor over here, and there's not a lot of favor over here. And that's not true. The favor is there. God said that he will rest his favor upon each of us. But what it is just like Pastor Jeff said last week, is sometimes all of us, sometimes when we hear that word, we don't all believe it. And so this morning, what I want to challenge you is, are you going to believe the word or not? Are you going to believe it or not? Because he's already laid it out for you. He's already made a path for you. He's already opened up the doors for you. And it's up to us to accept what he's already laid out. It's up to us to reply and to respond to what has already been taken care of. And so this morning, you have to think of, what am I going to believe about this word? And I pray that you leave here believing all. Believing all that the Lord has for you, because that's what he has for us. He has favor for each one of us. Yes. And so let's just go right in there, right in, and look at the word favor. And I found a definition, and it says, it's described as the tangible evidence that people have, that a person has the approval of the Lord. Now, a long time ago, I listened to T.D. Jakes, and I think it was about like 10 years ago, he had a message. And the title of his message was Favor Ain't Fair. And he told the audience, and make sure if you're taking notes, to write down the word ain't, because favor ain't fair. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write favor ain't fair. And the reason why it ain't fair is because sometimes, a lot of times when you see the favor of God, you don't have to do anything.
Right.
You don't have, everything is already laid out. Yeah. He's made a way when there seems like there is no way. And he's poured out a blessing that you and I don't even deserve. That's the favor of God. Amen? Amen. And so T.D. Jakes' definition of favor is, he said, preferable treatment, a distinctive treatment of where you have reached an elite status by something you don't deserve. None of us deserve anything that God does for us. And we need to get that established. We don't deserve it, but he does it anyway because he loves us. And it's up to us to acknowledge that and to get that inside of us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it, but he does it anyway because he's God. And when you establish that in your heart, and when you have an understanding of who God is and the blessings that he has for your life, then you will experience the favor of God. Then people will look at you and be like, what's that all about? And you just say, favor ain't fair. And you just keep on walking in the confidence and knowing who you are and knowing who God is. And, you know, Adrienne and I, you know, some of you know Adrienne. She's my best friends. And we talk about it all the time. Every single time God does something amazing in our lives that we know that is not about us. Right. We just text each other. We just say, you know, favor ain't fair. Hallelujah. It ain't fair. It ain't fair. And so I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. And it says, my hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have a humble and contrite heart, who trembles at my word. And then if you can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. I'm just going a little fast because I know it's on the screen up there. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart are loyal to him. So there is, those two scriptures gives us an outline of, you know, God has no respect of person, but there are qualities in people that he's looking for to bless. Yeah. And so we as believers have to possess those qualities in order to experience what God has for us. And some of those qualities, it says he's looking for the humble. Are you a humble believer? Do you have a contrite heart? Do you tremble at his word? Do you have a fear and a love and a respect and a reverence for the Lord God Almighty? Because if you do, then you will experience and you will see his favor upon your life. Amen? He's looking for those that are loyal to him. Those that are faithful, those that are going to stand no matter what, those that are not going to be moved, and those that are going to separate themselves unto him. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for those qualities in his believers. And when he finds those qualities, he blesses those qualities. He blesses that person. He blesses that situation. He pours out his favor. And you don't have to do anything but receive. You don't have to do anything but believe. And you pick up and you walk in those blessings. Because he has no respect or person. His favor is part of the blessing. And he favors those who seek after him. Are you seeking after the Lord? Or are you just walking around, oh yeah, I'm a believer, but I'm not doing anything about it. I come to church. Yes, I come to church every Sunday. But are you seeking his face? And these times, I'm telling you, I've been seeking the Lord's face more than anything. Because we are living in, I used to say, like crazy times, but now it's kind of interesting. Because in the midst of what's going on around us, as I seek his face, as I draw closer to him, his presence is there. I'm blessed. Yep. I'm separated. Yep. I'm not affected by the things that's going on, and I'm thankful. Amen. And I didn't even know if I was going to be able to get through this message because my heart is so full towards God. Amen. And all I want to do is just sit at his presence and cry. Yeah, I have no words anymore. Yeah. I have no prayers. There's nothing in my mouth. There's nothing in this that I have in my brain. No English words that I can even offer up to him anymore. Amen. You know, so sometimes I just sit in his presence and I just pray in the spirit and I just cry because I know my God knows my heart and I don't have to open my mouth. And I'm telling you, it's been the best time ever. So I'm excited. Amen. And I hope you're excited too. Yes. Amen. So when we talk about favor, once again, this is an issue of the heart. We have to get this favor thing settled in our heart and stop looking at and comparing ourselves with other people and pointing it out. Well, it's only the pastors that get blessed. It's only my neighbor that gets blessed. It's only so-and-so a person. God doesn't hear me. No. It's an issue of your heart. It's a matter of your heart because it's already been taken care of. He's already made a way. So we have to get this issue of favor in our heart and begin to agree with what the word says. Not with what you think, not with what you see, not with what you've experienced, but what the word says. And when we get that settled in our heart, then we will see the power that it's already been there. We will see the blessings that are already there and the provision that has already been made way for us. So God's favor is all we need. It's everything. It's all we need in life. You know, the cares of this world, the material things. I'm so happy that I'm getting older, and as I get older, the less things I care about. Yeah. You know, it's true. Because like when I was younger, I used to care about everything. You know, I had to, and I'm watching my kids go through it, and I'm like trying to like, you know, be sensitive because I was there at one time, but like it's annoying. Like it really is. It's really annoying all the things that they care about. And I'm like, hurry up and get older so you don't have to care about stuff. But God's favor is all that we need. It's all that we need. And Psalms chapter 90, verse 17, it says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then in Psalms 34, chapter 8, verse 10, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. I love that. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And I'm telling you right now, at 43 years old, I'm 43, yes I am, 43 years old, I can tell you and I can honestly stand before you and tell you that I lack nothing. And it's not because of the things that I've done. It's not because of who I am. It's because I've established in my heart that God is enough for me. Yes. And everything that he supplies is enough for me. Right. And it's so funny because he always does over and beyond what I even expect. Yeah. Because that's the God that we serve. He's a good God. Yes. And he wants to flourish us with his blessings. He doesn't want us to struggle. He doesn't want us to walk in fear. He doesn't want us to worry and care about all this stuff. He wants to bless us. And he established that because he said that his favor, he rests upon us. And I want you to think about that for a minute, that the favor of God rests upon us. It's there. And the day that you accepted him, he put his favor upon you. And I'm sorry if there are any unbelievers in the house. We're going to give you the opportunity to come to know the Lord today because it's not for you. I hate to break it to you, but it's not. This is for the believer. This is why we are believers. This is why we are set apart. And you should be jealous because favor, it ain't fair. Amen. It ain't fair. And so, I mean, I look at and I said, like they said, there is no want to those who fear him. And I don't know what promises that you're standing on, but like I said, I confess that there's no wants that I have. I make that confession. There's nothing that I'm lacking. There's no wants that I have that my Lord hasn't taken care of. He takes care of all my needs. He takes care of all my desires. He knows and he does things even before I ask. You know, he does things and that I'm not even aware of. And I love when God works behind the scenes, right? And he does it all the time. And I'm also think about David. And we all know and we're familiar with the 23rd Psalms. I love the 23rd Psalms. And probably most of us have learned it when we were a kid. But the first line in Psalms 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Which tells me that David had an understanding about the favor resting upon his life. David didn't do everything perfect. Everything wasn't just, he didn't do everything wonderful. But the Bible describes David after a man after his heart, after God's heart. And so I see that there's a quality, like I was saying in the beginning, that there's a quality that God is looking for. David sought after the Lord. God is looking for those who are seeking after him. And David had an understanding, and so he was able to say and give us the psalm and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Basically, he's saying, "The Lord is my protector, and I shall not want. The Lord is my provider, and I shall not want. The Lord, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have no fears. I know that I'm going to get through whatever situation that I'm in." And so in verse 6 of the same chapter, 23, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And I said, you know what? I'm going to start using the word surely. Yeah. Because surely means that there's a certainty. There's a confidence in the word surely. He's saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He knew that the Lord will never abandon him. Are you confident that the Lord will never abandon you this morning? Surely you're confident that the Lord will never abandon you. Ever, you know, and so when we are praying and when we are speaking, we need to have that 100% confidence and start saying things like, "Surely my marriage is strong. Surely my families are blessed. Surely my children are going to walk in the ways of the Lord." You see, because I hear Pastor Jerome is always talking about that he's God's favorite. And he says it, and guess what? He believes it. Surely he believes that. And some of you may be thinking like, what? No, he believes it. And you know what? I believe it for myself too. Amen. Surely I'm the Lord's favorite. Amen. And I take it to the extreme because when I read the scriptures that said that he inclines his ears to my prayers, this is what I envision. Yeah. When I pray, the Lord in heaven says, "Shh, he is praying." That's what I envision for my prayer life. So that when I pray, I know that I have God's attention. So when I pray, he says that he will incline his ears and he will hear and answer our prayers. There's no doubt when I pray that the Lord God is not hearing my prayers. There's no doubt that he won't answer my prayers. He will. And surely he would do it because there's a confidence that I have in my God. And that is something that I have settled in my heart. And therefore, faith arise. And faith is there because there's some issues and some things that I've taken from the word of God and I made that surely and secured in my heart. And now I'm living out and I'm experiencing the manifestations of the blessings that the Lord has already made. Right. Amen? And so I think about the times that we are living in and I recall and I remember being a kid and I used to think, like, how is the world going to end? You know? Like, I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, and my grandmother used to talk about end times all the time. And, you know, she would say, like, you know, "Oh, you know, there's going to be time when evil things are going to be called good. And nations and kingdoms," she would repeat that scripture, "nations and kingdoms will rise up against each other, and there will be famine, and there will be troubled times." And I believed it because it was in the Bible, and I was taught to believe what was in the Bible. And so, I used to be a kid, and I used to be like, I mean, that can't happen in America. We live in the best life here, you know? And so I just want to just share this because in the past 2 years, I've seen things change just like that. I mean, just like in a blink of an eye, it just changed. And there were times where, like, I could feel like fear just gripping me and sneaking up on me. And there were times that I would just lay in bed, just not being able to sleep and lose rest, worrying about things that were totally out of my control and trying to create this plan of, okay, how am I gonna protect my family and what I'm gonna do? And God wants us to be prepared, but you know, he doesn't want us living in fear. And there was a difference between being prepared and and fear. And I have to admit, it was fear that was grabbing a hold of my heart and messing with the way that I think. And I recognize it, and then I would lay up at night. And one particular night, the Lord brought remembrance of a word that He gave on January 4th, and it was in this. It was here when we were praying for the new year, as we do prayer and fasting. And He gave me a word one of the nights of prayer, and I wrote it down. And so I found it. So you know, when Pastor tells us to write it down. This is why I wrote it down, and I was able to pull it back, and it was marked January 4th, 2021. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just picked out bits and pieces of some of the things that brought me comfort. And on that day, He said, "I will cause a shaking and a trembling among the earth, but do not fear, for you will not be touched." "And as you seek my face, I will reveal the plan that I have for you and for those that are around you." And then He said some other things, but then I wrote down and He said, "For there is an abundance that I have commanded over your life. I am in control. Continue to fall in love with my presence. Walk in the things that I have commanded you and stay the course." Amen. Amen. And when He said it on January 4th, we rejoice. And I'm telling you, the summer of 2021, a couple of months later, He brought back, and I found comfort in knowing that, you know what? God already knew that this was going to happen. He is not surprised nor shocked. I was surprised and shocked, but He ain't. Right? And thank God, because that's what makes Him God. And that's why we serve Him. But the word of God, but what I see and what I saw in this, and as I wrote it down, I said, and I know this, the word never changes. And as I'm pouring out and preparing for this, and I'm saying that some of the qualities that God is looking for, He's looking for those that will seek after Him. He's looking for those that are humble. He's looking for those that are faithful. And in this, what He spoke to me, He said, continue to seek my face. Yeah. That's what He's telling us. Yep. Continue to fall in love with me. Walk in the things that I've commanded and stay the course. Stay faithful. Yeah. Don't be moved by what you see. Right. Yeah. We see a lot of garbage. Yeah. And we can't be moved. Yep. We have to know what we know. And what we ought to know is what the word says. Yeah. That's all we need to know. And that word needs to be rooted and grounded inside of our hearts so that we can stay the course. That's the only way we're going to stay the course. Yeah. If we don't have that word planted on good ground in our hearts, then we're going to move. And that's what Pastor Jeff was explaining to us last week. If it's not solid, we're going to fall. If it's not secure, we're going to fall apart. And so God doesn't want that for us. So He's telling us, continue to seek my face. Continue to seek my face. And I'll prepare a way for you. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was coming to the earth. But because of His favor, we won't be touched. Yes. Amen. Amen. We serve a good God. Yeah. I'm also reminded of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 8. This is another time, another season on the earth when there was darkness on the earth. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of times. But in Noah, we see the Lord, it says, in Genesis, we see it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth." I don't know. I think it's like that now. and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He had made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I have regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And if we read on to verse 9, it says, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God." In the midst of darkness, in the midst of God regretting that He made human beings, He found favor on one man, And not only was it Noah, but he began to save Noah's whole entire family. And we know the story. We know this. I hate to call it a story. We know the testimony of Noah. Yeah. And we know about the ark, and we know about all those things. And I'm blessed because I know and I see that God blesses the righteous. Yes. He takes care of his people. Noah was his people. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of all wickedness, in the midst of God saying, I kind of regret making man. Man, that's hard. Yeah. That's hard. Yes. He found Noah. And he's like, that's my people right there. And I'm going to take care of my people. And this is why I'm saying the favor of God is for the believers. Right. You are the people of God. Yes. You are the chosen generation. Yes. And you have to get that settled in your heart of who you are and what you mean to him. Because he will take care of you in the midst of darkness. He will be with you in the middle of the storm. He will provide for you where there seems like there's no provision. Amen? Because of his love for you and because of the promises that he made a long time ago. He said, I'm God and this is what I'm going to do for my people. And this is what he does for his people. So no matter how difficult the situations become or how dark the world becomes, you're the light.
That's right.
You are the light in the darkness.
Yep.
And God, not only is he going to take care of you, but he's going to take care of those that are around you. And the reason why is because as you shine your light, you become a testimony of his faithfulness.
Right.
You glorify him in the middle of darkness. And so by you living your best life through him, you're now causing others to say, hey, like, what's going on with you? Why this ain't happening to you? Why are you not affected? Why are you not miserable like the rest of us? Because favor ain't fair. Exactly. And it's your opportunity to preach about the goodness of the Lord. It's your opportunity to testify of who he is in your life. And there you provoke others to be want to draw towards you. It is not really about you. Of course, it's about him.
Right.
And just the same way God does it in everything else, when he blesses us, the blessing really ain't about you.
Yeah.
It's about others.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that who God is?
Yes.
You know? And, I mean, I think about one of the things that hinder us from receiving that is we become complainers sometimes. We complain about the blessings that God had and the provisions that God had already made because it doesn't line up with what we think it ought to line up with. It doesn't look like it doesn't come the way that we thought that it was going to come. Or maybe it didn't come in the timely manner that you thought that it may come in. And so we begin to complain about it. And I'm sick of, I used to be a complainer. I'm looking at my husband because I've changed. I used to be a big complainer. And one time, this is years ago, and one time I was it was my early 20s, and I was at my mother's house. I can't even remember why I was complaining. And finally, she just stopped, and she, like, pretty much told me off for about 20 minutes straight of how much I was a complainer. And I didn't even realize I was a complainer. But she even called me and said that I complained more than the children of Israel. Like, that's low.
Yeah, that's low.
That's low. But she did say that, and I mean, I ignored most of the stuff that she said, but the last thing that she said, was, you know what? You're going to miss the blessings of God because you're too busy complaining. That was an ouch. But it was an ouch that stuck with me, and I realized that I had to change my ways. And so I wasn't really mad at her because she was right, you know? And so I remember, like, you know, being aware, now I'm aware, like, I'm a complainer. And when situations and problems come and I didn't get things done my way, I kind of was just like, all right, I ain't going to complain louder. Please don't let me complain. God, let me shut my mouth, please. Don't let me complain. And I mean, I would have the thoughts and I'm like, don't say nothing, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. Because I was just trying to control it, you know?
Sure.
And that's what you do when it's hard not to complain. It is. But there's truth in that. Sometimes we complain so much that we miss the blessing.
Yeah.
Because like I said, the provision has already been made.
Yes.
God already established that he was going to rest his favor upon
you.
God already said that he was going to make a way, that he was going to clear a path for you. He already did all those things. And because he already did all those things, we don't have to worry about anything. You know, and so we have to stop ourselves, and even if we have to say, don't complain, and stop complaining so that we're not blinded by the blessings in the hand of the Father. And so I just want to say, like, you know, when you're in a complainer, you get mad, you get angry, you get frustrated all the time, and you're miserable. And we all see it, and we don't want to see it no more. So if you see me, just be like, here. And I'm like, okay, I'll get it. I won't get offended. We need to keep each other accountable. But I think about Noah, and imagine if he complained building the ark. Oh, Lord, not the elephants. Right? They're too big. You know? But like I said, our blessings affect other people.
Yeah.
And when we are in line with God, and he pours out his blessings upon us, it's so that others can see, and that we can bring other people into his presence.
Yes, yes.
And I'm gonna close with this last scripture, and it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man."
Yes.
You will win a good name in favor in the sight of God and in man.
Yes.
Because not only does God bless us, but he uses other people to bless
That's
us
right.
too. And I just want to end with a quick testimony of over the summer, I wasn't looking for a job. And I was able to have 3 job offers. And I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to say? I need to go to work. Like, I'm not even looking for jobs, you know? And I was offered 3 opportunities at 3 different locations for a job. And it wasn't, like, it was out of the blue. And I end up taking the job that I'm in, and I still work for Questar. Some of you that know, I've been working for Questar for 20 years. And something came up with, if you're in education, you know your certification and New York State and all their guidelines. Well, some issues came up with my certification. And so I was just like, oh, I'm about to get fired. Because, like, there's nothing that you can do when it's, like, New York State and it's the law and this is the law and I don't meet the criteria. Like, what can you get fired, I guess. Like, I've seen a lot of people in education get fired, you know, for messed up certifications. So I'm like, so I remember texting Adrian real quick, and I said, and I was saying, I'm about to get fired, and this is why. And as I'm texting her, Holy Spirit said, this is what you write in an email to your boss. And so I accidentally hit send, so the message that I was getting fired went to her. And then I text back and said, disregard that message. Holy Spirit just gave me an idea. I'll talk to you later. So I emailed my boss and I said what the Holy Spirit told me to say. And I didn't hear back from my boss. But I left work that day not thinking that I was getting fired. I left work saying, Lord, favor.
Amen.
I'm about to get favor.
Yeah.
I'm about to see favor work on my behalf.
Yeah.
I know what the law says, but God is above the law.
Amen.
Amen. I know who I am, and I know that he wants to bless me. I didn't ask for this job. You kind of gave it to me. So I'm going to get blessed because favor ain't fair. So I went home, and I was just like, whatever. I don't care. Next day I went to work. Adrian sends me a text while I was at work. Was like, did you hear from your boss? And I said, no, I didn't hear back from her. But I tell you what, that means she's thinking about it. That means what the Holy Spirit told me to say, they thinking about it. An hour later, I got an email from my boss, and she said, Akia, I don't want to leave you hanging. I just want to let you know that we're thinking about what we can do to keep you. And we're all in agreement that we don't want to lose you. So don't you worry. Don't worry, because we're going to make it and we're going to figure it out. I was like, favor. I text Adrian real quick and I told her what my boss says. Adrian, because we do this all the time, she wrote back, favor ain't fair. I said, hallelujah. So I'm telling you, it works. You know? And it's because, not because of who I am, but it's because I've agreed with what God says in his word. And I've established in my heart what his word says. Yeah. And so I made a decision that I'm not going to worry.
Right.
I'm not going to fret or be afraid of, oh gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm just going to say, oh, I'm just going to wait and see what kind of favor God pours out on this situation. I'm excited to see what kind of favor God is going to do in this situation. And I challenge you, in whatever situation you're going through, don't worry about it. Just wait and see what favor, what blessings God is going to do in that situation. Because I guarantee it's going to be a miracle, and it's going to be something that you can't accomplish in your own strength. Amen?